Today we're going to spend time in a very dark chapter of the Bible, but it does have a silver lining that tends to overarch that darkness, as we'll see today on Abounding Grace.
Everyone in this scene is fighting against God in some way. Everyone. No one is submitting to his will. How do you think God should respond? How does he respond? That's Genesis 27.
Indeed, it is a dark chapter that we have in front of us for the next two broadcasts here on Abounding Grace. But as Pastor Chris alluded to just a second ago, there is a silver lining that tends to overshadow all of the darkness that we see in this chapter. And that is what we'll spend time on today and tomorrow here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Let's get started by reading God's Word, shall we?
When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I have heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be upon me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goat she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me, that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate. And he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. One of the things that I love about studying these narratives, these Old Testament narratives, and the lives of these saints that have gone before us is how honest the Bible is. Not pulling any punches, how honest the Bible is in telling us their stories and the sins that we would hide. We're going to get into stuff that we all would hate to have revealed about us here in this text. And some of it's very uncomfortable, and it should be. Particularly, we see this when we look in Genesis and we see how family is playing itself out, how the family of Abraham is showing itself. And you really do see in this particular story this morning how the fall has really affected the family. Fathers and mothers don't communicate. Love seems to dwindle. Bitterness seems to fill the home. It can be commonplace. Children, a giant disconnect. Did you notice this? A giant disconnect between parents and children. Think we have that problem? I mean, you can go right down. Where's the mutual love? Where's the mutual trust in the family? And you look at this and you start to think, well, this is not so uncommon to us, if we'll admit it. This is not so uncommon. Some of you right now have a giant hole in your heart over things like this. I just sat with someone last week who said she hardly knew her dad growing up because he was gone all the time. Some of you grieve over children, the choices that they've made and what they're doing right now and how that has played out. There are those hurting terribly right now, and every week we don't see that. We don't see that. We see the smiles. How are you doing? Doing great, you know, and we share a bun. We don't see what's really going on. And sometimes it's really hard for people to open up about what's going on. There are those maybe here today who really haven't yet, younger families probably, and I've struggled with this, haven't yet to realize how great of a problem this is because they just don't see it yet. They're in kind of the prime. The kids are young and they're going through it and they don't really see what's transpiring and how this is going, that this there is a real problem that is set before us. And then there are families sitting here right now who are in absolute complete turmoil. And everything looks great, but right now you're distressed. You're distressed. Something has happened this week. Something has happened in the lives of one of your children. You feel like a giant hypocrite sitting here right now. You feel like a giant hypocrite. Pull the veneer away, and you would be absolutely ashamed to reveal what you're doing and what's going on. The consequences can be devastating, absolutely devastating. Tell me, what father on his deathbed ever regrets that he, you think about it, that he didn't spend more time at the office? What father on his deathbed spends time regretting that, you know, that he didn't fly around or didn't travel more away from the family? It's always, 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 he wasn't there for his children. I told you the stat that parents and fathers give less than 3 minutes of undivided attention to their children per day. That's it. You don't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. And all of this can get a little bit distressing. The damage that you can do, it's significant. What does divorce do to children? Much more than you realize. What is infidelity really doing to your marriage? Destroying it. And if you would all have a sensitive conscience, this is distressing, especially when at times, just the sheer pressures of life, you don't even feel like you know how to be a good father or a mother. All this is there. What will I regret? What am I doing right now that I don't see that will have terrible effects on my children? You ever think about it? And can my failure wreck the outcome? Why do I raise all that this morning? I want to build you up. But why do I raise all of that this morning? Because Genesis 27 is an absolute mess. You ever read a mess this bad? I mean, I don't know how much worse it could be described. This family of Abraham at the moment is a complete disaster. And I'm going to show you that. Genesis 27 chronicles and it outlines the worst list of sins chalked up in a family here And the destructive consequences of this. And you think, well, why is God showing us this? Why is God putting this right here? It's awful. I want to really explore the question, how did God respond to this? And what did God do in the midst of this? Can I wreck his plan? Can you wreck his plan? Is there ever a point at which God says, you know, that's it. I've had it. I'm done. Does he ever do that? Does he ever walk away because of your unfaithfulness? I want you all to think about that. Because I have been reckless at times with the promises and careless and stubborn towards his will. You know, the reality this morning is what you're going to see is that we're all fighting against the will of God in various ways. And that's why that petition of the Lord's Prayer, that request, not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't even begin to see how important that petition, that request is until you open up a passage like this. Because oftentimes you're not even seeing this stuff going on. You are completely blind to what you're doing. And you're just going along, thinking everything's great, and you are wreaking havoc in your home as fathers. Everyone in this scene is fighting against God in some way. Everyone. No one is submitting to his will. How do you think God should respond? How does he respond? That's Genesis 27. I struggled with how to break this down. The kind of traditional three-pointer didn't work. It just didn't work. I thought, I'm just going to walk through each character. I don't know how else to look at it. The characters, it seems to me it's stacking on character after character after character to ask the question, who's the good one? And that's what I want to look at this morning with you. Who's the noble character in this story? Let's begin with Isaac this morning. Fast forward from where we were last time. Years have now gone by, and we read that Isaac is old, and he is on his deathbed, really, in verse 1. He is confined to his bed. And Isaac begins to think, it's time. I better pass the blessing. It's time to pass the blessing on one of my sons. So this was a great moment in the life of a patriarch, and even in that culture, when you would pass the blessing onto the son, it would be a giant banquet, it would be a great feast, it would be a public event, everyone would gather, it would be a moment of real joy, and everyone would know about it. But you'll notice as you open up Genesis chapter 27 that Isaac calls Esau to his bed privately and in secret. Look at verse 2. Behold, I am old, and I don't know the day of my death. Now, therefore, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, the first question you should all be thinking about here for a minute is, wait a minute. What are you doing, Isaac? You're blessing who? I mean, you really have to feel how crazy this is, how much rejection of the Lord's revealed will this is right in front of you. He's doing it in secret. He's doing it in secret because such actions he knew would cause absolute upheaval in the family. And so he hides the whole thing from mom and has a secret plot to bless Esau, to bless his favorite son. And why? Well, the text gives you a few reasons, but one of the most intriguing reasons is Esau could give him the best food. He loved Esau's savory food. Now, we critique Esau a little bit for selling the birthright for a bowl of soup, didn't we? But I don't know how to get away from the fact, the hard, plain fact, that sin seems to have come from dad. Isaac loved to fill the belly. Isaac loved a steak. I want some of your savory food, Esau. Go prepare me this so that I may pass the blessing on to you. Now, The first thing I think about when it comes to Isaac is the man is not really finishing that well, is he? I mean, this is Abraham, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here he is at the end of life, and I'm not seeing a saint finishing well. It has been a problem. Seen it often. But the most painful thing here is that God had said, in Jacob will be the seed. The older will serve the younger. I'm choosing Jacob. And I believe the text wants you to think about for a minute, Isaac knew this. Don't think that Isaac forgot this. What is recorded right before this to help you with that? Well, in verse 34, you see something said about Esau that should make all of us have pause when we read it. I didn't read it this morning, but I want you to back up and look at verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he took Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, to be his wife, Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. They were of grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Why did the Spirit put that there? You have this whole story, and then you have that, and then you have Isaac's passing the blessing to Esau, and right before that is that statement. And I believe the Spirit wants to make it very clear that what Isaac did was not ignorant. Isaac made a choice, a willful choice against the will of God. And you think about that scene here for a minute. Abraham would have never allowed this for Isaac to go and get a pagan wife from Canaan. And here Esau, in complete rebellion against God's covenant, complete rebellion against the promises made to Abraham, he completely repudiates the whole thing. I'm going to show you that here in a few minutes. He completely repudiates the whole thing, walks away from the faith of the fathers, walks away from the faith of Father Abraham and Isaac, and says, I'm done with it. And took two pagan women, two of them, specifically against the will of God. Now, what do you have here then? You have complete disregard of father and son for God's will and promise. It's unbelief. Isaac has lived blinded to the will of God. Probably a play there with the emphasis on blindness too. The Bible often does that. But Isaac here was around 140. And he dies at 180, so he was confined a long time. He was down a long time. But we know that Jacob and Esau were born when he was 60. That means for almost 100 years, he fought God on this. And we stand back, and we say, what a terrible thing that's happened here. But is this so uncommon? Is this so uncommon? How many parents support children in their sin against the will of God? Think about it. Has it ever happened when the church tries to go and recover a wayward child that has defected and has run from the faith, that the parents secretly support that, support the children in their running and support their sin? You think parents secretly side with sinning children against the will of God? Happens all the time. How often are children put before God's will? And we turn our faces away from God's will so that we don't have to deal with it. And we support it. We're all on the edge of our seats right now because this is who? It's Isaac. It's Isaac. Let's move to mom. This is really bad for Isaac at this point. One thing I've learned in life, piece of advice for young fathers, when it comes to a mother, never slight her children. You want to start a mess. You want to start a war. Mess with mom and her son. That's like standing in front of a herd of elephants. She will rip you up. Here is Isaac with his secret plot. And lo and behold, in verse 5, Rebekah is standing at the tent door. And she goes in and she's hearing this whole thing. She's hearing the whole thing. You can see the mouth drop. And she goes right to Jacob. I heard your father speak. He's going to bless Esau. No way. And notice how it comes out in the text. Obey my voice. You obey what I command you. Go to the flock and you bring me a couple of good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies. Isaac should have gone out of the master tent room, I suppose. There is no way mom is going to let this happen. And favoritism has plagued this family. Favoritism has plagued. Son, I command you, listen to my voice, son. We're going to cover you. I know how dad likes his food. I'm going to prepare it. Doesn't matter how we get the promise. We're going to go get it our way. You see how we're never really patient with the fulfilling of God's word and promise his way, in his timing. How satisfied, if we were to apply this, how satisfied are we with the Lord's will for us today? You look at how things are playing out before you with your marriages and your husband and your wife and your children or the church and worship. And you go right down the line here, right down the line. A whole bunch of things that are in life that matter to you. And do you ever look at those things and deep down, in all honesty, you're very unsatisfied with the way that whole direction's going? Very unsatisfied. And things are happening and you hate the way they're happening. You hate the way it's going. And what is the immediate default? What is the immediate thing that we do in these kind of situations? We grab them and we are going to solve it our way. And we're going to get it done. We do it with children. We do it with our lives. We do it with church. We've got to have this. We've got to have this. We've got to have this. Then it'll work. Then we'll get results. Look at the disorder that we bring to homes, church, life, when we're doing it our way.
You know, we usually try to end our programs on a rather positive note. Sometimes there's just not much positivity to find in something such as Genesis chapter 27. But do trust us, there is a positive note, a real silver lining that overarches the darkness that we see in this chapter. And we'll go on to see that tomorrow. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. Well, let's return the microphone once again to Pastor Chris as we look forward to tomorrow's broadcast and that silver lining that is surrounding this dark cloud we've spent time in chapter 27.
Dad and mom aren't listening to one another. Marriage is on the rocks. Dad is doing things secretly to accomplish his own will against the will of the Lord, rejecting clearly the revealed will of God. Doesn't want his strong-willed wife to know, lest chaos break out in the family. Strong-willed mom is behind the scenes, scheming with her favorite son to get it done her way. Both sons right now are living in total unbelief, and now one of them wants to kill the other. Let me summarize the position of each one. Isaac, Have thine own way, Lord? No. Have my own way, Lord. Rebecca, we'll try it my way, Lord. Jacob, I'll take it if it works my way, Lord. Esau, I'll get it back my way, Lord. What a mess. Can you imagine the nightmare this would be if it all hinged upon them? Who's the overwhelming one full of goodness? Through all of this mess, you see the Lord's commitment, unwavering, relentless, to fulfill the promise he made to Abraham.
The silver lining of Genesis chapter 27, tomorrow on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.